minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans? Welcome back to another edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, it's over. He's gone. It's done. Let it be written. Let it be done. It is finished. I am your host, Jacob Morley. I'm joined today by my co-host, Ross Uglum. Find us both on Twitter or wherever or whatever. I'm bumbling over it because Ross, a momentous, is that a word?
Nope.
No, it is not. Aaron Rodgers got traded today, is what I'm trying to say. And months, years is what it seemed like that this was coming. And it kind of just happened, right? Like all of a sudden, like boom, there the details were on a Monday afternoon around 3 o'clock. He was traded. A lot of people talking about how it was going to go right up to the draft, like Thursday, maybe even Friday. Obviously, that did not happen. I'm sure both sides were happy to not let it get to that. But Ross, what were your just immediate reactions? Because the way it was reported, it wasn't reported like, hey, the deal is done. It's like, hey, the deal is done, and here is the deal. When you saw that, and if you've been living under a rock, I suppose you don't know this yet, but the Packers, in return for Aaron Rodgers, they swapped 13 and 15. They got 42 this year, and they have the Jets' second-round pick next year, which escalates into a first-round pick if he plays 65% of snaps. And folks, if he does not play 65% of snaps in New York next year, something bad happened. Like something went wrong, and that's going to be a top 40 pick anyway. So, Ross, what were your initial thoughts, your initial reaction when you saw the compensation?
That Green Bay won the trade, you know, and I think that's a, you know, like a biased lens, right? Obviously. But it's hard to argue. You dump an erroneous contract. You know, I believe that.
And did you see, like, that's something that we don't have the details on yet, Ross, but something else that's supposed to be coming with this is Rodgers reworking his contract to make it more palatable for the Packers to move on from him. And I'm assuming for the Jets to take him on. But either way, that's a huge win for Green Bay as well.
Yes. And, for this time, it'll be spraining news. Tony Pauline from Pro Football Network. The move from 15 to 13 for Green Bay is in the hopes that it will be easier to secure JSN. Alleged.
Talk to me, Tony. Yeah. Oh man, my soul would leave my body. 2 years in a row going and getting a receiver that I've been pounding the table for months. I would ascend. Yeah. I would ascend out of my basement into the sky. I mean, it would just be incredible. So we'll see.
Like, if it weren't for the likelihood that I would be fired and divorced, I might come see you in Kansas City this weekend.
Hey, we rolling the dice or what?
Fired and divorced. Fired and divorced.
Hey, that's all right. You'll land on your feet.
I always do. But yeah, so that's actually – that was the tough thing. You're talking to me about comp. So I was running from – and people will see this on social media – on the NDSU side, I just had, you know, future Packer Cody Mauch in the studio, and we did a fantastic, like, Cody's the best. Like, Cody literally jumped on our preview pod for the NDSU side, like, previewing how they'll, you know, their players will do in the draft, and he just hung out for 70 minutes, and we just, like, did the show with Cody as a guest host, which was sure something. But I was running out to my house to let my dog out and grab two things that I needed to bring back to my quote-unquote new real job. And I'm in the house waiting for my dog to come back in, and I get – I don't know how this happened. I think it must have had something to do with connection to the Bluetooth in my car, disconnection for the Bluetooth in my car, and I get like Twitter push notification to my watch that says Rodgers is going to wear number 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, that's cool, but what? And then all of a sudden my wrist just starts going zzzz. And so I'm scrambling and you know, trying not to tweet and drive. That's against the law. Trying to get back to practice, you know, for my team. It's a mess. It's been a mess. It's going to be a mess. But I think, like I said, for them to get two guaranteed twos with a pick swap and, you know, a virtual guarantee, I wouldn't call it a virtual. I mean, it is pretty darn certain. What does Rodgers have to play 11 games and Green Bay will get next year's first for the Jets? Going to be really unlikely that they don't. You know what I mean? All of that to basically you listen to guys like Andy, love Andy, but you listen to guys like Andy and Ken Ingles, and it's like the Packers should have to attach picks to this Rodgers contract. Right? I mean, no. That was the talk from the number crunchers.
No. That was the response. No, that's not. And again, I think Andy, I love Andy. I think Ken is really smart, but no, no. Like, I think Goody said it best. He's a premium player. They need to get a premium return. That was their stance, and that is what they were going to – that was the hill they were going to die on. And guess what? They didn't die on the hill. Goody standing on the top planting his flag in it right now because not only did they not have to attach picks – not only did the Jets try to force their hand to make them do that, Goody just stood his ground, didn't blink. And for all the people, for all the punters that have talked about Goody not being very good at his job, like they have to just be punching air right now because there's really no way you can phrase this outside of like the compensation for the fact of the matter that one, yes, his contract is stinky, very stinky. And two, he publicly said he was not going to be playing in Green Bay next year. For them to get what they got out of him is remarkable. And the Packers knew that the Jets were desperate. The Jets told us they were desperate by the way they went and attacked their offseason. Essentially, you know, the wish list, quote unquote, that reportedly or not reportedly was out there, that they went and basically fulfilled. They did that with the hopes of bringing in Aaron Rodgers. There was no way in hell they were going into this season without him on their team. And the Packers called that bluff. They said, you want to lowball us for a 4 or whatever the Jets fans were thinking that they were going to get him for. Like, it's just not – it was not going to happen. It was never going to happen. And did they want pick 13 outright? Probably. That's probably where it started. But they got a haul for this guy. Would have it been more last year? Because that's what it is now. You know, you always pivot. When you're just going to want to try to hate on a guy just to hate him because you don't think he's good at his job. With Goot now, it's, well, if he really was that smart, he would have traded him last year. Yeah, if he had a crystal ball, I'm sure he would have. But who in the hell is going to trade the two-time back-to-back MVP? That would have been nuts. You know, like that's fine to go back and look at it that way and say like, yeah, he should have. Like, and you're right, he should have, but there's just no way. So the fact that they still were able to squeeze this much blood out of a stone is amazing. And I said it on Twitter, man, like halfway through this season when Rodgers is playing bad, he looks like a shell of his former self. You know, Bakhtiari's hurt. He's not hardly playing. You know, all this stuff, their two biggest contracts right there are not really giving you the return. And you're kind of hamstrung by these contracts. That was a bleak time for the Packers. It really was because you look and say, like, what do they do? How do they get out of this hole? They're stuck to Rodgers. They're stuck to Bakhtiari. And they still have Bakhtiari. And they're going to keep him this year. But I think they probably will move on from that contract next year. The biggest contract that they moved on from was Aaron Rodgers. And he just was not going to be the MVP in Green Bay anymore. Say what you want. That was gone. That ship had sailed. So if he goes and does that in New York, that's all fine and dandy. But the fact of the matter was, man, it was bleak in Green Bay to look at the future of this team and say, what do they do? You know, they don't have like an absurd amount of draft capital. They're going to get a decent pick this year, all of that, yada, yada. Now you look at this team And regardless of what you think of Jordan Love, regardless of what you think of the other young players on the roster, just the fact that they have been able to move on from that contract and have a quarterback that they love in Jordan Love, with now a younger roster, with future assets in the draft coming in. I mean, they're going to have two first round picks next year, right? Like that's going to happen. They're going to have at least three top 60 picks would be a very reasonable thing to say at this point. You go from things being so bleak in November to now you look at this team. It's like there is light at the end of this tunnel. There is the path. They have carved out a path to being a competitive football team once again. Now, will that come to fruition? We don't know yet, but at least there is hope. Ross, I'm sorry for cutting you off.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what's crazy. Let's say that Green Bay, let's say that Jets pick stays a second-round pick and it stays in the same area. According to my kind of rough calculations, and I don't know what trade value chart the draft tech uses. I'm looking at the basic one.
Draft tech is Jimmy Johnson, which is the one people use. That's probably the best.
So using the Jimmy Johnson model, the Packers got basically exactly the number of points out of this deal as the 15th pick. So they got the 15th pick basically for Rodgers. I know that doesn't make sense, but I mean, that is the equivalent of what they got. If this pick conveys as a second rounder, if it conveys as a first rounder, you can add about another roughly 300 points to that, meaning that they basically got either the 10th or the 9th pick in value for Rodgers. That is tremendous for a player that cost $60 million that you weren't going to have anymore, period. And I'm not talking about, you know, in like – I'm including the fact that they also gave up pick 15, because all that I'm adding is the 100 trade points that you get from going 1050 to 1150. That's all that I'm adding. But pick 42 is worth 480 points. The Packers, you know, only lose 14 or 15 points on that fifth and sixth round swap, because things that late just aren't that valuable. And then I'm talking about next year, you know, that two being in the same realm, because if Rodgers doesn't play 65% of the snaps, it's going to be a pick in the 40s, if not in the mid 30s. And if he does play 65% of the snaps, you know, then I'm going off like pick 23, pick 24, pick whatever, wherever, you know, the Jets, and it could be better. Rodgers could play, folks, Rodgers could play all the snaps. Buffalo could be good. Miami could be good. And the Jets just end up not being that good.
Here's the other thing, too. Like, with the Jets, we've all been led to, you know, and the Jets are talented. Like, they are a very talented team. Most of the talent's on the defensive side of the ball. You look at that Jets offense right now, offensive line,
stinks.
Packers with spades. Yeah. The Packers have such a better offensive line than the Jets do right now. Rodgers does not do well under pressure. That is something that has been apparent the last few years. We've tracked that stuff at Packer Report. He's been one of the worst quarterbacks under pressure. Just is a shell of himself with pressure in his face. If the Jets don't figure out that offensive line, that could be an issue for that offense. The wide receiver group, Alan Lazard is their wide receiver too. Alan Lazard was the wide receiver too in Green Bay last year. How'd that work out? Garrett Wilson is a really good football player. Absolutely. And I think he's going to get better in year two. Sure.
I don't know.
But you look at these two. But like, yeah, but exactly. What is the gap that big? I mean, tight end. I don't even know who the Jets tight end is.
Uzama.
Jeremy Rucker.
Uzama.
So they're better there too. And then the running backs, you know, call it a wash. Just because I think Breece Hall is really good. I would probably say the Packers have better running backs, but I wouldn't want to be accused of being biased, right? So they just call it a wash there.
Definitely have better running backs. I think the most valuable back on either roster is probably Breece Hall,
who's coming off a major injury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a path to the Jets not being very good next year, especially in the AFC, right? I mean, that – so we'll see. It'll also be fascinating. I mean, for we all kind of assume the Packers are not going to be a Super Bowl contender next year. If they are, great. All right, that's awesome. Everything went right. But probably not. And for a team that's probably not a Super Bowl contending team, I don't know what more you could ask for from an entertainment value of what this team is going to be next year. Now, could they come out there and just stink out loud and be a top five pick next year? Like, yeah, that's on the table. Could they be a playoff team next year? Yeah, that's on the table too. We've talked about their range of outcomes next season being just so vast. But the fact of the matter is, you get to root for two teams' first-round picks next year, right? Like, you get to root for the Jets to stink, essentially. You get to – if the Packers stink, you at least have a high pick, and then you start packing those things together.
Stink more.
And then – but what's really exciting about that is there are two quarterbacks next year's draft class that are very, very good. And I know it's – a lot can happen between now and then, and it usually does. But if Jordan Love is not him, then they have a chance to go get him. You know, and no one, and I think Jordan Love is him. So that's another scenario too. And it's just so much fun. It's so much fun. It makes this deal, just really, you know, moving on from a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't want it to sound like we're tap dancing on his grave either, Ross. But he was done in Green Bay. Like, I loved Aaron Rodgers and what he did for the Packers. You cannot take away, you know, the Super Bowl that he won, the MVPs that he won in Green Bay, and what he did for this franchise. But the ship had sailed. So all that was left was the compensation. And in terms of compensation, the Packers won. The Packers won.
Here's a tweet I want to get after. Frank Schwab from Yahoo. Matt LaFleur currently 30-1 to win Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year is all about narrative. Packers win the NFC North, going from Rodgers to Love. A lot of flowers are going to get tossed at LaFleur. This is not a gambling podcast, but I'd be all about 30-1 on MLF. But I'm honestly excited because I think Jordan will listen to him. And I think I'm starting to be one of the highest guys on Matt LaFleur as a motivator. And I think he's a terrible hirer. I don't think he's very good at those.
Nice. Parts. Good CEO.
But as a play caller, as a motivator, as somebody that he can get the guys to play for him, and more importantly, in this sense, I am excited to see his offense. And even if Jordan Love is Kirk Cousins' level of competent, I think you could see a boost for the Packers just in that Jordan Love will run the stuff that LaFleur wants to run that I believe is good stuff. Like, the YOLO crap from Rodgers is gone because he's gone. And I don't know that necessarily, like, Rodgers.
It's going to be a different kind of YOLO.
Yeah. Get ready to not, you know, get ready to have more than six quarterback related turnovers in a season, folks, because it might be coming. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. Like, he's not gonna check out of six consecutive Aaron Jones runs, and then after the game say, man, we really should have got Jonesy involved. Like, that's not gonna happen with the new setup. I think. Yes, Jordan Love should and will have autonomy. I mean, he's been in the system for 3 years. He understands, I would hope, what Matt wants, and will certainly have the ability to change plays at the line. But the "I am the captain now" BS is probably gone. And I do think that that is a net positive. I don't know that Rodgers to Love is going to be a net positive. I think 2022, what we saw from Rodgers in 2022 to Love could be more of a positive. But what I'm excited to see is Matt LaFleur any good? I think we're fixing to find out. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting too, when it's like, you go from back-to-back MVP Aaron Rodgers, 13-win Green Bay Packers, to Aaron Rodgers playing average to below average football and then being an 8-9 win team, whatever it was. Like, what is the in-between? What is the in-between there? Is it just like 11 wins? Because that would be, if you sit here right now and say, hey, next year with Jordan Love as the quarterback for the Packers, they're going to win 11 games. I think you take that all day and you'd be excited about that. That's a playoff team. And then where you go from there, you know, that's all the narratives, the stuff that we can't answer, the things that will get answered eventually. But it is fascinating. And I do want to, shift a little bit. I mean, we don't need to dunk on the Jets fans that much, but
why not?
But
I didn't even know these people existed.
I didn't know they had fans. I thought I knew they had the guy in the fireman hat. Fireman Rick or whatever his name is. And I thought they had that guy. And he got the people going. He got them going. He's the guy that got everyone going. And without him, I just thought they sat there and did nothing. Like, that's how I assumed games are wherever they play. And where do they play? They play New Jersey, right? See, Ross doesn't know either. Yes, but in any case,
MetLife is, I think.
Dude, the blood feud that boiled over quickly between Packers fans and Jets fans was fascinating. And I have not heard one thing from the Jets fans ever since about 3 o'clock today, which is fascinating. You know, butt fumble 69 has not tweeted at me once today. And that is wild. And I can't imagine they're feeling very good about this trade. Unless, here is the thing though. Unless they go out and win a Super Bowl. And wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something? If Aaron Rodgers goes out, and I will say, Ross, and I think you agree with me on this, there are not many players in the NFL more dangerous than a pissed off Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers is petty. He is going to be full on petty next year playing for the Jets. So we'll see. I still think he's got some juice left in the tank, and I think he's going to be a good player for them. And I think they will be a good team. But he's also about to be 40, and we did see some signs of decline last year from him. Could it be the ribs? Could it be the thumb? Maybe. Or maybe he's just getting old. I don't know. Like, that's another question that's going to get answered this season. And I, for one, cannot wait to watch it unfold. But moving on from that, I mean, that's just the trade in itself. Russ, I don't know if you know this, but it's draft week. This thing's happening. This thing's happening on Thursday. And the Packers now have 3 top 50 picks starting at 13.
Yeah.
And we already mentioned it. JSN is a guy that where there's smoke, there's usually fire. The two guys that we've heard a lot about this week are, one, JSN and Michael Mayer, right? There's been a lot of smoke about Michael Mayer for the Packers as well. I don't think they take him at 13. I didn't think they would take him at 15. I really think this team is going to sit there and they're going to wait till pick 13 and they're going to say, is JSN on the board? Check yes, take him. Check no, who wants to move up? And I think they move back. And a team that I have that I think could potentially be interested, there's a few teams in that top early 20s, and people always talk about, like, well, who would want to move up? Who would want to move up on this in a year's draft like this where there's not a bunch of top-end talent? The answer is usually someone. Usually someone is going to want to come up and get their guy. I could very much see the Packers trading, like, let's say with, like, the Chargers are sitting there at 21, and maybe the Chargers like someone like Zay Flowers in an offense that likes to throw a lot of checkdowns and does not attack the field vertically. Guess what? Zay does both of those things. So it would make sense for them to like him. Could they want to potentially move up to 13? Well, I think they have like 54 in the second round. Pick 54 plus 21 is almost exactly pick 13.
So that's what I was going to say. The Green Bay now has an extra
100 points.
Right. They have an extra end of the third worth of value in any kind of a trade-up situation where when we were theorizing this theoretical deal, because I think that's the Mayer deal, right? You trade down and you take Mayer at 21. Okay, well, is Green Bay going to have to send back some BS to get pick 54 from the Chargers? At 15, yeah, probably. At 13, no. They could just take 21 and 54 from the Chargers and move on. And then it's crazy because then it's 21, 42, 45, and 54.
That's a lot of guys.
Well, and then the other part of that Mayer deal that I think we've speculated about is, say, a guy like Jalin Hyatt, who, you know, for better or worse, I like him.
Yep.
I know the Packers like him.
Yep.
Let's say he's sitting there at 28, 29 with the Bengals or the Saints pick. 45 and 54, maybe less. Maybe what it would be 45 and 78, maybe, could get you up into that range where, and I'm not looking at the, it might actually be 45 and 54 to get up there, 2 seconds to move all the way up there to get in range for Hyatt. Let me pull this up real quick. But in any case, like, we do know that the Packers have some interest in moving back up for a guy like Hyatt. And Mayer and Hyatt, when you talk about pairings, I mean, man, that's a pairing that you get the guy that's going to work the middle of the field, and then you just go add another kid that can just blow the top off of defense to pair with Christian Watson. I mean, when you are basically putting your nuts on the table for Jordan Love and saying, hey, this guy has to be good, it does not make sense for the Packers to leave day one and day two without multiple pass catchers. The Chargers have pick 54. That's worth 360. And so if the Packers wanted to move up to, like, let's say 28 with Cincinnati or 29 with New Orleans, that's about 650. So pick 54 plus pick 78. This is great, right? Yeah, so it would be like 54 and 78 to move up to pick 28 or 29. And then you'd still have picks 42 and 45. So that's four top 50 picks that they could potentially leave this year's draft class with. So you could take, you know, you take Mayer when you trade back. Trade up, take Hyatt. You could get Cody Mock and your edge, you know, your edge rusher of your choice. Really? In this year's draft. I mean, and I would, you would not see me. You would not see me for a week. You know, like, that would be immaculate. And I think that's the thing. But then the other thing too, Ross, that we already talked about, and I think you said it on this very podcast, if JSN is the pick at 13, I don't care what happens in the rest of the draft. You know, like, and it is kind of that way where it's like, man, they take the Ohio State wide receiver at 13, whatever. Do whatever you want for the rest of the next 2 days because I am happy with the draft. But there's so much draft capital to play with, and it's gonna be fun. What were you just screaming about, Ross?
Will McDonald. I screamed Willie.
Oh, yeah, sure. Take him. Yeah, if you leave the first two rounds with Mayer, Hyatt,
Mock,
Cody, and Will McDonald, or Felix, sure. Sign me up for that. You know, that's a very reasonable draft. Probably not the sizzle that JSN would provide, but that's okay. That would be okay. So, man, it's fun. I think we do have to prepare ourselves, though, for the Packers being the Packers and being like, we're going to take an offensive tackle and an interior defensive lineman, and you're going to like it, which could happen. But, Ross, any closing statements from you?
I was right.
I once again was correct. Yeah.
I regret to inform many that I was not wrong.
No. No, you were not. The Packers got a haul. Hopefully, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. You know, that's the fun part of all this. But the next time you'll hear from us, we will be talking about whoever they take in the first round. Will it be one guy? Will it be two guys? We shall see. It's going to be fun. Love draft week. It is upon us. We are here. We made it. Everyone take care of themselves. And we'll catch you guys next time. And until then, go Pack, go.